Nous sommes mercredi 7 novembre et ZX joue ce soir aux ateliers Klaus à Bruxelles. Il est environ 18h, 18h30 et nous sommes dans les loges avec les membres de ZX, en particulier avec Katerina et Arnold. Bonsoir à vous. Good evening to you, Arnold and Katerina. Thank you.
Bonsoir.
How are you? Bonsoir à vous tous.
Moi aussi.
It's not the first time you play in Belgium, nor in Brussels, but the first time here.
Yes, yeah. We are happy to be here tonight.
And Etienne is working here and we know him really well, so it's great.
Yeah, Etienne, pour les auditeurs de Radio Panique, c'est l'ingénieur son des ateliers Klaus qui a bossé sur la tournée, la dernière tournée de ZX. Bon, moi je suis Naïma, I'm Naïma from Radio Panique. Very happy to be able to ask you some questions and to hear you tonight. So, Radio Panique during November focus its programs on intellectual property questions, and I'd like to have your opinions about this question. So, DX, it's more than 30 years that you actively feed the music scene all over the world with eclectic collaborations and contributions, and your speeches are definitely involved, engaged, and reacting about social questions and the way the world is running. And you are a particular position in this music scene. You are independent, and I'd like you to explain when and why you have decided to record and distribute your albums by yourselves.
Well, from the very beginning we decided to manage everything ourselves, but that has also to do with other bands who were around that time when we started in 1979, which was for example Cress. And they already gave the example that you can manage yourself and you don't need a record label and such. So that was a nice example for us also to do it the same way. And well, ever since we are very happy we have done this, because it means you have a lot of freedom for yourself, how you want to do it. You can release everything you like, you can release it at the time you are ready, and you keep all the sales, also the prices, everything you can manage yourself. And so that is why this way always has been the best way for us.
Yeah, I think it's also to keep things very simple. For me, for example, my parents always ran a shop in a small town and selling clothes and carpets and stuff. And they always were managing everything themselves. So and you could always see that this gives the freedom to be your own boss, and nobody's telling you what to do. And especially, I mean, of course, in running a shop and I mean whatever, this is already important, of course, but for making music and art, it's maybe even more important that no one is telling you what to do and how to do it. So it's also very logical, I think, for an artist to be completely independent. And if you make commodities, if you make stuff that you want to sell, then luckily there are many examples, and it's not only from the 80s, but in the 60s and also in the 20s, people were managing themselves. Blues musicians were traveling around, and they had the money in their pocket, you know. Like, so it's also a very basic human idea to manage yourself and to manage your own stuff. Yeah.
Recently, this business logic, commercial logic is attacking the users of music, and they try to control and limit the way to hear and or watch films. They try to protect artists' creation and creativity. Do you agree with this speech?
Well, in a way, you want to protect yourself against business logic. Like, the only thing that you want to protect yourself against is that someone or some company is using our music or our ideas to make money for themselves. So this is the only protection, in a way, that you want. Of course, we always want to share all our music and ideas with as many people as possible. So if it goes from, on a normal, basic human level, from one person to another person, or from one person to an audience or to a group of persons, well, in a way, you rather give as much as possible for not much money, you know, or whatever. I mean, of course, we sell our stuff and we don't give it away for free, like the CDs and the LPs, because it costs us money too to make it, and we need to make a bit of money. But then through the internet, as long as other people are using it on their websites, with they just make and don't they don't make money through advertisement bullshit or whatever, if they just want to use it, then of course we always say, like, of course use it. If you put it in a context that is all about inspiration and new ideas and just letting everybody know about our music or about our ideas or whoever's music and ideas, then that should always be supported. But whenever there is some company in between who thinks, oh, let's put this music on a website, we build something around it, and we make a lot of music with advertisement because people will come to this website, then of course you say, like, no way, no way, that's not a nice thing to do.
And they control the relation you can have with the audience. They decide.
That's important. Yeah.
The relation.
Yeah.
Bootlegs, for example, exist for a long time.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
At first, your production were pressed on vinyls, and then recorded on CDs, and now
cassettes.
By copying, by duplicating, we have seen new forms of creations as sampling or mashups. Do you think it's a misrespect to you? Yes.
I don't know. Actually, it hasn't happened yet. So I did not really think about it in detail, because nobody has made new music with our music yet. But
well, for example, there's this French musician who did a cover of State of Shock.
Yeah, but that was Jan Tiersen. There was a musician, but he has just, you know, officially asked us, which is very nice, can I use your song and make a cover version of it and use it in our set and play. Yeah. That's all fine by us. I mean, yeah.
I've noticed people can download for free tracks on your websites.
Mm-hmm.
That
of
means
course.
You can live without selling every track. So
yeah.
What part do shows represent in the way you live?
In a way, you know, like as it works for us, like many times, if, for example, after a concert, you are like, we stand at the merchandise table. Many times we sell the CDs ourselves, and when you are talking to people, and in a way, like if you meet people, you exchange ideas, and in a way you would like to give everybody like a CD for free, in a way, you know, but you don't do that because making the CD costs money and everything. So we ask a price for it, which is also not strange, and. But of course, you put some songs on. We put songs on the website for people to listen if they want to download it and listen it again on their I don't know, MP3 player, whatever. Of course, that's great. That's fine. So this whole thing, but it's small, and it's not that we advertise ourselves that we are giving everything away for free, because that's also a bit strange. Like some artists think they can make a lot of friends by doing a big advertisement campaign that they give their albums away for free. What is that about? No, it's more about fans who come to our website and search for information and search for music, and of course they can listen to a selection of tracks that we and they can download them also. So there's nothing wrong with that. Either stream or download, it's more or less the same these days, for at least for a lot of people, I guess. And yeah, there's not so much wrong with it. And with sampling, in a way, it can sometimes be great, and sometimes it can be completely hidden in someone's song. And it's also someone is taking something and making a new creative item with it. Well, in a way, we do the same. We play Ethiopian songs in a completely different way. So is it sampling, or is it covering, or it's becoming a mix of many things, and it's also inspiration. Mm-hmm. So I mean, as soon as some big artist just rips a big part of one of our recording and makes a lot of money with it and uses it for some advertisement, blah blah blah, and then it's clear that actually it's an X song. Mm-hmm. Then it becomes completely strange, and then of course we would say no, no way. I think it's like this.
Yeah, I agree.
And last question: I've heard that in the Netherlands, Buma Stemra, the equivalent of Sabam in Belgium or SACEM in France, is developing a pilot project of Creative Commons.
Yeah, they do a lot with that. If you're a member of a Buma Stemra, and actually you can even divide it up and be only a member of Buma, which means that you only have to do with whatever official broadcasting is when they are playing your songs, you will get some money for it. But they have the Creative Commons license in different ways. Like I think there are like five different versions of Creative Commons or something, and you can choose. And already for some years, Buma Stemra is doing this. So yeah, of course they get a lot of critics and a lot of fighting in the media about what they are doing, and some people really attack them, and other people say, well, okay, let's see what there has to be development, and so they are opening up, and that's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, why not?
Project interest you, and maybe one day you will edit an album under Creative Commons.
I think in a way our stuff is already under Creative Commons. I mean, if people put our songs, X songs, on their website, on their weblog or something, or maybe on the radio site, or so, I don't think anybody will grab you by the neck. And
normally, it's the stuff of the work of Buma Stemra to looking for people using your tracks.
But we already told them in a way that they should, as long as it's non-commercial, it's everything is fine, which is Creative Commons. I mean, this whole sampling idea, I don't think we really spinned it out with the Buma Stemra album, but it's definitely clear that they should not attack people who put our songs on weblogs and something. And it's there are many weblogs and websites and who put X songs and YouTube stuff on just everywhere. And that's all fine, really. Yeah, I mean, as soon as they would start doing that, as soon as we would get emails from people like, hey, we were putting one of your songs on our site and we got this mailing from Buma Stemra, then immediately we would call Buma Stemra and say, stop, don't do this. These people are okay. And so, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Then we'll grab them.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And have a nice show.
Okay, thanks. Thank you.
Yeah. See you. Good luck with the radio.
Yeah.